Log Talk Radio.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another crazy edition of the Absolute Truth Show right here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, with the most, the King of Kings himself. I am the Hot Rod. And on the phone line, I have the reigning, defended, undisputed, biggest crack in the world.
Ladies and gentlemen, Lord.
Sean Black.
And he happens to be in the building for the new year. Happy New Year, everybody. Happy New Year to you, I think. Wow. That was a little long-winded,
yes.
But hey, we haven't been on the air in a year, or well, since last year anyway, but hey, it is what it is.
Okay, all right. You know that was corny, right? That was really corny.
I wasn't trying to be hip. I wasn't trying to be up there or whatever you were trying to do with that intro. But what I was trying to tell everybody was Happy New Year.
I'm trying to pump you up. I'm trying to make you look good, even though you are the biggest crap that I've dealt with. But
Hot Rod,
I'm giving you some credit.
I thank you. But Hot Rod, I don't need you to tell me to look good. That's a duty that we have to do anyway, because we've been doing this show now. Now this is our seventh year doing this show, coming March. So
yes. You
know who makes us look good? The people that listen to the show. So for all intents and purposes, thank you for listening to the show.
Yes, our two or three listeners out there, thank you so much. Let's keep it going.
It's better than talking. You know what it is? It's better than talking to a box of pudding, okay? So whoever's listening, thank you very much.
Once again, what you do in your own time, that's your business, okay? Let's move on. But, you know the number, guys. 3479. Oh, sugar. What's the number again?
Yeah. Let me get this straight, Hot Rod. You want them to know the number, and you being the host of the show, you don't even know the number.
I host the show like once a month. Give me a break. 347-985-8402. The number once again is 347-989-8402. New Year.
Are you sure about that?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, like I said, it's a new year, 2022, but same old topics, of course.
Yes.
But before we get to the same old topics, 2021, you know, people getting ready. Get this year out the way. Some people would say it was better than 2020. It was better than 2020. Some people would say worse. But regardless, we were like, get ready, 2021, get the hell out of here. Let's get ready for 22. You know, usual New Year's, optimistic type of thing. And a couple hours before the ball dropped. Oh, what was that, Sean? That's your stomach or your butt?
Somebody in a beat-up hoopty is driving around in the neighborhood. And we hear a lot of that, especially around this time of the night. So go figure.
Okay. I know what I'm saying. It's not too sharp for it.
Yes, before the car so rudely interrupted you.
We're getting ready to see the ball drop in Times Square. Nothing I noticed. Sean sent me a message. Everybody sent me a message. 2021 says, hold on, I'm not leaving without a bag. That's what literally just happened when we all heard the news about the great Betty White that passed away at the age of 99, I believe 18 days until her 100th birthday. Now, Sean Black, I'm not going to lie to you. I met Betty White, I believe, twice in my life. But this one hurts, you know, when you hear a great Betty White who done so much for our lives in her lifetime, who had entertained us for all her life. You know, this was things, you know. And the tributes, the message on social media everywhere, it's like no one could have really had anything bad to say about her, but nothing but praise, because she's done a lot for white, black, all type of people. She was I like to say she was America's grandma at that time. What's your thought about Betty White?
Well, what you're saying right now, as far as this one really stings, it really hurts, it really does. And we knew that she was coming up on her 100th birthday. I know a lot of TV networks were going to be doing tributes. I know there's like a game show network that we're going to do a tribute on the weekend of her birthday. She had a movie documentary that she was going to be doing, kind of highlighting her life and a lot of those things. But for those in our age range, we know Betty from either the Golden Girls or game shows. People that are older than us know Betty White from the Mary Tyler Moore Show and all of the other things that she did. And she was able to stay relevant because of her irreverent sense of humor. She was very funny, very personable, but also at the same time, she was important because she loved animals. That's one of the loves of her life.
Yeah.
She was into just being personable, and she had a very kind spirit and a kind soul. And just one of those things, as I just alluded to watching The Golden Girls, I used to watch that show with my grandmother. Now, here's the piece of symmetry that's involved, that Betty White's birthday was January 17th. January 17th was the day that my grandmother passed. So that really stung when I got that news. So knowing all of those things that go on, and you see somebody that you watched and enjoyed and saw, she was just a genuinely a good, kind-hearted soul. She lived a very full life, and she's now resting in peace. And hopefully she is with her late husband, Alan Ludden, and they can go on through eternity in happiness. We definitely will miss her.
Yes. And yes, as always, thank you for being a friend, Betty White. And on to, like I said earlier, New Year, same old topic. I wonder what that topic could be right now. It is about
Inflation?
Megatron. Yes. Yes, indeed.
Okay.
No, of course, ladies and gentlemen, due to the holidays, no surprise, Omicron cases, COVID cases, whatever you want to call it, have been gone through the roof, skyrocketed. 50, 80 cases in a day, you know. And Sean Black and I, we crack up jokes about it, like, you know, what is happening over here? Are we surprised by this? No, because it's the holidays. As we discussed last time, people are sick and tired of being sick and tired. So people have to go see their loved ones. Got to go spend time at gatherings, because life must go on, right, Sean Black? Well, I know
Correct.
Was about what you want to say, but what is happening? Can well, I'm a car and COVID cases rising, and yes, it will go down sooner. Do you think there's a way we can control this COVID? Because let's, overall, as we say many times, COVID's here to stay, and even the gathering Times Square, the guy, the Times Square Alliance said, listen, COVID's here to stay. We need to move on and add COVID to our mix. What are your thoughts, Sean Black? Then I'll go to Phil.
Well, the one thing that I can honestly say, and I've been talking about this, like we've all been talking about this now for over 2 years, and we talked about how all viruses, bacteriums, especially viruses, they are there and they are there to mutate, replicate, and then try to survive. That's what these strains do. What we've been seeing in previous variants were that they were obviously deadly to adults, but we didn't see as much with children. What we're seeing with Omicron is that children are now being hospitalized at a ridiculous rate. It's averaging 500 children per day as far as new cases go. I just watched something on the news earlier that the Texas Children's Hospital, almost all the new cases that they're getting in of children being sick are all from Omicron. 400,000 daily cases every day for the last few days. This is what is considered not a – this isn't a blip. This isn't a spike. This is just new infections. And as we've talked about before, we also know that the fact that, as you just alluded to, there are a lot of get-togethers between the Christmas holiday. We had Hanukkah just the week prior, Kwanzaa, the New Year's just finished this weekend. So we're going to have a lot of people that have either gone on to trips, have been out celebrating. Are we in a situation where we can say that we're going to find a ceiling and then we're going to have a plateau and then we're going to have it fall off? It will eventually happen, but it's going to be a while before that is the case.
Now, Phil, I know you're a big advocate of COVID cases and vaccines and everything. Do you feel the vaccines are any help at all, even though we have spike in cases? Basically, we're going through a surge right now. Like I told Sean, every day at some point, everyone's going to have the COVID. But what's your thoughts?
You know, my thought is, I think the vaccines do help to a degree. They basically keep you out of the hospital. You know, the vaccines are supposed to help, you know, a mild case, which is what we're hearing about with this Omicron. They're saying that if you're vaccinated, it could just be a mild cold or something to that extent. And you know, the thing is, you know, you don't know what to believe anymore. But I will say, and I think I said it before, that this thing is here to stay. And there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. This thing ain't going away anytime soon. And even if it does go away, who knows what the next pandemic is going to be? Maybe something even worse.
But here's the one thing I'll add to what you're saying, Phil. I'm going to add this one thing to that whole deal. Two things, actually. What the government, the CDC, and a lot of other countries, when they talk about how you – to be able to find out how you combat this kind of pandemic, you have to have, as far as testing goes, at least 20 million cases reviewed as far as finding out how many people have it so that you can get ahead of the infection rate. At the highest, we've only tested – in a day, the highest is 2 million. So we're nowhere near that plateau to find out how many people have the infection and are passing it along. But also the other thing that we also have to look at as well is that going forward, are we ready for, as you said, that next pandemic, whatever it is, whether it's another variant of the coronavirus or if it's a extreme case of a flu virus or something along those lines. Is this country and is this world ready for that based on the information that has gone out there and a lot of the misinformation through social media and other means that have thrown things out there that have kind of stalled trust in the government or the CDC for that matter?
But hold on, somebody. I understand what you're trying to say, but I think what Phil's trying to say is what I agree with him is a lot of misinformation. But at the same time, the media and Dr. Fauci and everybody else, CDC and WHO, they're all giving misinformation also. We don't know what to believe. One day they tell you quarantine for 10 days. Now they're telling you to quarantine, you could go back to work after 5 days. Next week it will be you could go back to work when you got the COVID. It doesn't matter. It's like it keeps changing nonstop. And the people cannot trust something like this. I understand this is new. This is something different
you know,
to everybody. I don't think it's changed. Go ahead, Phil.
You know, when I had it, there was no way I was better in 5 days. There was no way. I was lucky. I had the 2 weeks. I was basically off from work for almost 2 weeks. One was maybe with the case of COVID that I had it lasted about a week, but I was lucky. I had put in for the way it fell out. I had put in for time off basically the week of Thanksgiving, so I was better by that time. But still, I was not better within 5 days. Trust me, I was still fatigued.
To your Yeah, but to your point, since I'll go to K-Dog, the problem with this COVID and everything, it's causing so much staff shortage everywhere. Between airlines, restaurants, schools, fire department, police, it is no joke because people are getting sick. And another thing, like I told Sean Black, that people don't realize is, you know, they're going crazy that, you know, we have so many cases. Why do we have so many cases? More people are testing. Duh.
Bingo.
Like Sean said. And, you know, that's people don't realize. And like to Sean's point, which I agree 100%, if they say there's 2 million cases, it should be double than that. But you can't control all this because Sean wants to go get tested one day, I go test another day, you know, I'm negative. Do I go back again and get tested? You can't control the testing, you know. And those 15-minute rapid tests, they ain't guaranteed. They're not that efficient compared to on the test that you get the result the next day or two. I'm just saying because on a personal note, at my job, now I got to get tested every day with a rapid before I go to work. Now, Phil, Kago, Sean, my question to you is, should companies do rapid testing every day? Can they afford to do rapid testing every day to protect the people, the employees, and your work environment? I'll go with you first, K-Dog.
First of all, I got to say Happy New Year, guys. Hey, New Year, we're still talking about this thing. What it is that with companies, should they do the rapid testing? Yes, they should to protect their employees because in my work environment at work, I just got to say this is that less people are coming into the office because I had heard that some of them ended up catching COVID. Some of them are sick with COVID and they're not allowed in the office. And you gotta protect your employees because you don't want to cause a problem. Because if someone comes in there and you don't know what they have, all of a sudden it spreads because this thing is like it's a spreader. It's a spreader. You know, with more people that you have in the office, you don't know who's sitting next to you could have it, and you never know. And they're giving people at my job. They're giving out the take home tests.
All right, you know, I will say, I mean, if you're going to get tested, the rapid test, you don't know if that's 100%. I mean, there have been false negative, there have been false positives with those rapid tests. I mean, the best test is to get is the real test is the one you get in the doctor's office that takes a couple of days till you know the results.
Right.
But as far as my company goes, as far as where I work, everybody has to wear a mask. Plus,
same
you
here.
Have to go on. And the thing is, where I work, there's an app called Me at Walmart that every day before you go into the store, most employees, I mean, there's a self-assessment on there. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, they tell you, you know, to be honest as possible. And then when
yeah,
you get into the store...
Please.
All basically somebody's got to do is take your temperature, and, you know, if you're at normal, you're good to go to work.
That doesn't work, Bill, and you know damn well that doesn't work.
Yeah.
They do it to cover their ass.
A lot of companies are doing that. At work, and I could get what Phil is saying, because every day before you go into the office, they'll tell you, you got to take this, you got to do this, and, you know, to avoid it. I mean, listen, let's face facts and let's be real about this. This COVID, this American virus, it's here. It's here to stay because, you know what? And like Sean said earlier, more and more people are getting tested. That's why you see a lot of positives. And plus, during the holiday season, we saw uptick. You know, and the uptick has been taking place since Thanksgiving. We've seen an uptick of this, and it's only going to get higher and higher because more people are not taking it seriously. More people are like, well, I don't need the vaccine because of all the stuff you see in the media. You see all this craziness and stuff that people don't care about the vaccine. It's like, hey, we got to do what we got to do.
I hate to interrupt, but with the vaccines, the Johnson & Johnson vaccine is not being recommended. My store was offering it. We're not doing that because it is not recommended. It is not recommended anymore. So it's just basically the Pfizer and the Moderna that are the main two. Because the reason why it's with the Johnson & Johnson with the blood clots again.
And it's starting to seem that of the three vaccines, it seems like the Moderna one seems to be the stronger of the three, although that's depending on your body chemistry and how you take to whichever vaccine. Whichever one it is, hopefully, if you do get vaccinated, you pick one of them. But what I think, going back to this whole idea behind what we've just been talking about, the fear going on in the business world is that what happened in 2020 doesn't happen again. Because the last thing that any of these companies want is a complete lockdown. We don't want to see malls close, people that would normally go out, restaurants. Because if we have another shutdown, if there's another fourth shutdown, there are going to be more and more businesses that will not open again. If we look at the certain industries, I'll give you a perfect example. There are banks and other stores, because if you've seen on the news about the New York City mandates, as probably one of the strictest in the nation, a lot of places that would normally be open are now closed because they don't have enough employees there. So just going to the bank to go to the ATM or to talk to a teller, you might not be able to get in there. Or the supermarket that needs to be open might not have enough staff. So then you're going to have to wonder, what are the pluses and minuses of making sure that the testing is not only correct but also affordable? Because a lot of businesses, although they would like to be able to get this done, those businesses, a lot of them can't really afford the testing that you would need by, let's say, a Walmart or a Target or any of those big stores that have billions of dollars backing behind them, but also have 5,000-6,000 employees at a particular spot. They have the money to do that. A lot of the smaller businesses don't have that kind of money behind it, or they don't subscribe to wanting the testing as much.
And Sean, mind if I add something? So, pardon me for interrupting, but also, I was talking to one of my coworkers about this, and my coworker said, you know, a lot of the big businesses, you know, with their whole backup plan, people are talking about, you know, businesses need a backup plan, you know, just in case of an emergency like this, so we won't have to repeat what happened in 2020. And a lot of businesses don't have that plan.
And I'll
just say this in short, that a lot of businesses and a lot of companies, a reason why there are other reasons why besides COVID that they're short-staffed. And I shared an article that somebody put from Business Insider that a lot of people are quitting their retail jobs because of customers being rude and yelling at them for stuff that's basically out of their control. But that's another topic for another time. But I just wanted to point that out.
Yeah, that's also a casualty of what's going on right now.
True. And one thing I want to point out is, to Sean's point, Broadway shows, some of them have shut down for good because they couldn't afford it anymore. And there have been over 100,000 restaurants in America that have shut down for good due to COVID. And Brother B, another one who likes to shut us down all the time when he's on and tell it like it is. Happy New Year, and take the floor.
Greetings and salutations, everyone. Happy and healthy New Year.
And same to you, too, my fine feathered friend.
I'm a bird now. Well, check this out. I don't know.
What type of thing is going on?
No, man.
I'm wondering if everything that I've heard so far sounds like something that I just read that I actually have not heard about until I saw someone just post it. So it's called The Great Reset. The Great Reset is the name of the 50th annual meeting of the World Economic Forum. held in June 2020. It brought together high-profile businesses and political leaders convened by Charles, Prince of Wales, and the WEF with the theme of rebuilding society and the economy following the COVID-19 pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
So what did that sound like?
Very interesting.
Because I never knew about that. I never heard of that.
True. But
I thought everything was shut down in 2020.
This is the first time I heard about it.
Yeah. But to your guys' point, when you go to like Sean said earlier, when you go to the supermarket, to the retail, and you have rude customers, AC, you know, demand for supplies, does it show America how important blue-collar workers are? It's like, once again, a lot of things are not getting done because of blue-collar workers, due to the trucks, due to the retail, due to warehouses, union jobs. And at the same time, you have these union jobs and these other jobs making a vaccine mandate, and you have people quitting their jobs. Well, you have people like airlines who trust that they have to cancel all flights. You know what I'm saying? This is like a domino effect that's affecting everybody.
Well, I see it like this. It can either force people to do two things. Actually more than two things. It can either force them to take the vaccine. It can force them to actually take a pay cut. Because, you know, it sounds like what they're doing is creating a dysphoria with this whole COVID thing. Like, COVID is a reason for you to lose your job, for you to have to, you know, for no Broadway, for no restaurants, for you can't go here and eat, you can't do this, you can't do that. Like, COVID is this standard where now, like, if you don't have if you're not vaccinated, and it's getting to the point where it's like, well, if you don't have a booster, then you can't do X, Y, and Z. And the thing is, once again, as we discussed on your show before, it's a form of control. And it's sad when you have to make people choose in between their life, because there's no guarantee on the vaccine. I mean, you see people getting booster shots and vaccinated, and they're still catching. So, you know what I'm saying? It's a hit or miss, but who wants to take the gamble? So, you know, like I said, I'm not an anti-vaxxer, and I'm not a pro-vaxxer, but I will say this.
In other words, it's like a game of
Russian
roulette.
You have to do what you have to do. Yeah, you have to do what you have to do.
It's like a game of Russian roulette, if you ask me. It's a game of Russian roulette. That's what it sounds like.
On to the next topic. Oh, Sean, anything like that on before I go to the next topic?
Well, outside of all of the many layered things that have happened because of COVID, we know that it's been a trickle effect. We know about the shipping woes of people trying to get supplies. We also know about the microchip shortage because of lack of workers at the factories creating the components for computers and cell phones and all of that kind of thing. And that has been a huge domino effect for other businesses, and it shows you how plugged in the world's economy is when one cog is pulled out of the machine, how it can disrupt the entire conveyor belt of everything else. And that's one of the other things that has to be looked at going forward as well, is it's probably going to take at least 2 years to get back to the production, I think, that we were at before the pandemic started, getting things and supplies.
Wow.
And you would hope before then that the supplies getting caught up, you wouldn't start seeing businesses fall apart to be able to sustain up until they can get these supplies to where they are. Because a lot of these companies that are depending on these supplies to come in, it's going to be quite some time before they start to see an influx.
Okay, on to the next thing. And before I start, yes, ladies and gentlemen, the Hot Rod is still looking for a PlayStation 5. So if you find one, let me know. I pay for it. I give a little bit extra money. That's what I really need. You know, but you can't find PS5s anywhere right now. But besides that,
good luck with that one.
On to a little bit of sports. Not too much about sports, but Sean's favorite football player, Antonio Brown, is in the news again. and he's hot right now in the internet. Sean Black, talk a little bit about who Antonio Brown is and why he's popular again in the internet for the wrong reasons.
I don't know if popular is the word. I would probably say much more infamous than anything else. But without getting too sportsy, we know that Antonio Brown, who we've talked about more than once on this show about previous actions and behaviors, literally lost it on the sideline yesterday's game between the Jets and the Buccaneers. Something happened. There was either an argument or a dispute between himself and the head coach, Bruce Arians, over what we still don't fully know. But at some point, he took off his jersey, he took off his shirt, threw it down, then took his undershirt and threw it into the crowd and walked off to the sidelines. He got into the end zone, started waving off fans. He flashed a peace sign, ran up the tunnel, and never came back. He was promptly cut from the team right after the game by the head coach. And the reason why this is pertinent is because there have been a litany of things that have happened with Antonio Brown in his personal life that a lot of people will look into and wonder if it is just him being a bad person who is very impulsive, or is he suffering from some kind of mental illness? Did he have a breakdown? Did he have something in his personal life happen to him? Or, as the argument has been started on a lot of talk shows, is he suffering from some form of CTE? Now, obviously, we don't know any of this as far as what the true reasoning behind it is, but the sensitivity of the subject is definitely going to be brought up between now and Lord knows how long. And I'll throw that back to you, Rod. What do you think?
And too, before I start, like Phil told me earlier, and I told Sean Black this news, that in tonight, Brooklyn Nets basketball game, Antonio Brown was at the game, watching the game. And, of course, the announcer's going to help for talking about him, that he's there, and that what he did yesterday. And what I told Sean yesterday, like, before I jump to conclusions, like, what happened, you know, this was the highlights. You know, I don't want to attack Antonio Brown not knowing what happened. But regardless, the reason why this is sensitive is because this is another black player, and yes, I'm going to say this, who, I don't know the whole story, so I don't want to criticize him too much, but he has so many chances, you know, in the NFL between the team that he's in now, the team that he's past. He basically had a bad rep for a long time. For whatever reason, like Sean said, it could be CTE. But what I did not like was the announcers on the football game yesterday. It's one thing to talk about the incident, but of course there was dog trash throughout the whole game. They didn't even want that call in the game. There was too many talking about Antonio Brown and what he did, and they keep showing the footage over and over. Did he hit anybody? No. Did he flip the bird to anybody? Not really. Did he have an argument with his coach or with his teammates? So, yes. But he went out. And like I told Sean Black yesterday, what happened if that was Tom Brady or someone white, you know, who did the same situation? Matter of fact, let's say it was Aaron Rodgers, scumbag, who, you know, claimed, who lied about being vaccinated. Well, how they would treat him? Easy. They will give him the red carpet. You know what? He's having a bad day. He's probably having a mental illness. They will make excuses for him already, not knowing the situation. But here we are, once again, attacking another bad guy. I'm not saying that he did not deserve to get cut. I'm not defending that. Just once again, Sean and I, we get upset about the treatment of black NFL players. And like I told Sean earlier this morning, Antonio Brown scores again, and he received so many chances as a black man. There's a good chance he may never get a job again.
Oh, yeah.
Will we ever find out what really happened? Maybe not. Well, you know, there will be a lot of stories, and there will be a lot of attacks on Antonio Brown because of his reputation.
Oh, I'll give you the difference. I'll give you the quick difference in how this is different than other stuff. Before, we already know about all of the things that happened to him just this season. We talked about Antonio Brown with the fake vaccination card. Even though he had gotten vaccinated, he did the whole fake vaccination card, which is a federal offense. That's one thing. He has the rape allegations against him for his former trainer from last year that we talked about. Now, remember, he's bounced around from the Steelers. He got himself away from the Steelers because of his personal life and then was able to go to the Raiders. He signed a huge deal with the Raiders, and all he had to do was make the roster. And he couldn't even make the roster before the preseason, didn't play a single game with the team, was cut before then. Goes to the Patriots. He stays there, doesn't stay there long. Goes to Tampa Bay, wins a Super Bowl last year, but now, between that, he got injured, all of the other things that happened up to that point. Then we have this stuff going on, and then him literally flipping out on the sideline with really no context as to what happened. The problem is not what he did. It's the fact that he cashed out on his team. You can have a lot of things happen to you in the background, but once you flip out and you lose the team, that is literally the death knell to a career, and that's when your teammates will stop looking for you.
Okay, Phil?
You know, it's funny when you say that. You know, Tom Brady went to bat for Antonio Brown and basically told them, you know, bring this guy here. And this is one of the greatest wide receivers. He's a great player. I mean, you can't take nothing away from his talent. But you look at all these issues that he's had, you know, with the Steelers when he was benched. Then he had a problem, you know, in Oakland with the helmet and getting into it with the general manager. Then he threatened to retire
over the helmet. Remember that. He threatened to actually quit because he wanted his old helmet as they were graduating to these newer, safer helmets. Go figure.
Yeah.
You know, and then New England, the whole sexual assault thing that came up with the trainer. And now this thing in Tampa Bay, like you said, with the fake vaccination card. You know, Aaron Rodgers lied about getting vaccinated, but at least he didn't show a fake vaccination card, which makes that look even worse. And then what he did yesterday just totally just ruined his career. I mean, I don't care who you are. You could be pissed off. You could be mad about whatever. But to do what you did, that is an embarrassment to your team and the National Football League. You just basically embarrassed yourself. Then you're shown outside of MetLife Stadium waiting for an Uber. So in my estimation is there's got to be something wrong with him. Mentally, it could, as you said, he could have CTE. We don't know. But there is something wrong with – there's something wrong there. Now I was reading earlier today that Terry Bradshaw came under fire from some people because he said Antonio Brown belongs in a straitjacket. Now, I'm not going to say that. That's going a little bit too far. That's going a little bit too far. I mean, he's not. He's not threatened to kill anybody.
No, but why? Because it came from a white man talking about a black man. That's why. How many times I crack up a joke about that, about John Black? Does that make me crazy too? I'm just saying,
Bradshaw took a little too far. I mean, he's not a criminal. I mean, he hasn't been proven to be a criminal. He hasn't killed anybody, but. There's something mentally wrong in his head. And either he likes the attention or you don't know what it is. But it's just a shame to see what he's done off the field. And yesterday was just the icing on the cake.
Mm-hmm.
And K-Dog?
Man, yesterday watching it, I was in disbelief because somebody called me and said, you know, of course I was watching my team lose, which we sucked this season, was horrible. That's another story.
Oh, that's another
story. No, we're not going to get into that.
Another show.
But then what I watched, but then after when I turned to the game, when I saw him running on the field, I'm like, what the hell is going on here, man? I mean, this was just, it was insane. It was insane. When I saw, I'm like, what the hell, he just wowed out. They said, yay, exactly what he did. Took off his pads, took them off, and threw them into the crowd and ran up. I'm like, okay, something snapped. If you ask me, something snapped. Because it's not the first time.
Yeah.
It's not the first time he's wild out like this, but something had to cause him to snap like this.
Well, here's what I was also reading earlier. They were saying now that there were reports saying that he was possibly injured with his ankle, and he was, you know, somewhat questionable coming into this game. Now, if Bruce Arians wanted him to go on the field and he said, I can't go because of my ankle, you know, then I don't know, you know, then why didn't instead of this, Bruce Arians should have said, get into that medical tent and let's take an X-ray of your ankle. So
well, you read that. Sean, now we read that he was upset because he wanted more minutes on the field to catch an incentive to catch the ball so he could get his money. It could be even more.
That's another thing.
Here we go.
The team actually tried to accommodate that. First of all, if you are a gifted, talented wide receiver, a stud, then you don't get incentives. Incentives are there because the team doesn't necessarily trust that you're going to be able to do the right thing for the totality of the season. And if you do certain markers and you have certain achievements that you do during the season, you'll get this bonus. Now, he would make a certain number of catches. He'd get $330,000, $333,000. A certain number of touchdowns, same amount. They broke it up into three slices to get to those incentives. And the team did everything that they could to try to get him his money. So it's not like the team just, you know, walked out on him and turned their back on him for lack of trying thereof. So we can't say that was even the case.
All right. And now on to my last topic. Phil, feel free to jump in anytime you want with any questions. But this is pointed to K-Dog tonight. This is a K-Dog topic, and I have a bone to make with him about this. Oh, yeah. You started. Sean, know we're talking about it. I have a bone to pick with you. Earlier, I guess it was a Christmas gift to me, you gave us a topic about why black women are still single or why there's so many black women are still single. And Sean and I, we both watched the video. And you know what? I think that's a good topic to talk about on Guys Talk, you know, because like I told Sean, I have a lot of female friends, a lot of black female friends who are single, and I always talk to them about it, and some of them have different answers, whatever. But before I start on that part, the video you sent on YouTube, the YouTube video, I'd like to say it was garbage.
Yes, it was. That's why I sent it.
Number one is from England, you know.
Exactly.
They were way off topic. They were way off
topic. Yes, they did.
They didn't make sense.
Mm-hmm.
And even the questions they asked in the street with other guys, it was like, you did not answer the question. But
That's why I'm glad I sent you the video, to see the stupidity that was going on. Just to see how stupid some people are.
Yes, indeed. But the guys did brought up a couple points about it, but at the same time, you see these sisters, these lovely black women, once they answered that question, their defense mechanism went on right away, and they started defending themselves, you know, and they did not even let the guys talk. They're like, you know, being on the menu. Well, besides that, I just find it funny how I know that you got one shot. I just find it funny when it comes out to these type of topics, especially when we discuss with black females, they get very defensive and they put on their boxing gloves and ready to fight. And sometimes we just want to talk about it, you know. And when I do talk to my friends about why you feel signal, you know, are you being too picky? And they come up with, I'm a strong black woman. I don't need a man to do this. I don't need a man to do that. I don't need a man to pay my bills. That's not what we talk about most of the time, you know. And like I told Sean this morning, in reality, we both need each other. A man and a woman or a man and a man, we,
mm-hmm.
two people need each other in general. You know?
Yes, they do.
You don't hear a black man saying, you know, I don't need a woman to support me, you know. So why do you think overall, K-Dog, how black women in general are still single compared to other races of Jewish, Asian, Italian, white?
Man, you know what? It's a very sensitive topic, and from what I'm saying, I'm just gonna keep it 100%. There's a lot of things out there in terms of education and also careers. You know, when you look at things, and you're right, we do need each other. Whether you're black, whether you're whatever race you are, men and women, you need each other. But the thing is, what disappeared from it is the love and respect that we have for one another, because what it is that it's turned into a competition. Like, okay, let's just say a woman has a high-end career.
But why do we have competition between black and Jewish, it's like there's so much
because you know what, we're competing against each other, which makes no sense. I mean, I look at it like, why is it that, you know, okay, a woman shouldn't be competing against a man, and a man shouldn't be competing against a woman. Okay, yes. So a woman is making more money than you. Okay, the man should still be the provider. You still need to provide for your woman. Just don't make, you know, you still got to be the man. You got to be the leader, you know. And I'm not saying it in a male chauvinistic way, but in a more, you understand, you have to be the man in the relationship.
But
what do you mean, I'm not saying it in a,
we talk about this.
Right, like being the provider, you know,
being the leader,
because it's like,
but
the two of you are together. The two of you are together. And, like, I've heard people say this many times. Like, you know, if the two of you are together, why are you still letting the woman take the lead in everything? And that shows that you're lazy. That shows laziness when you do that. And, you know, again, with the competition, like, what the hell are you doing? I mean, okay, so she's making more money than you. Okay, if you feel that you want to better yourself, yeah, you can better yourself. You can provide. You should provide. But it also comes down to it with the respect that the two of you have with each other, have for each other, what I'm saying. And it's like a back and forth thing nowadays. It's a back and forth thing. Because, like, I was talking to a friend of mine, and he was saying the same thing. He said, man, listen, as a man, do we sit there and judge a woman by the job that she does? Okay, let's just say we have you have a higher position. You're a CFO or a CEO, and you meet a woman who happens to be like a nanny. Or let's just say she's a postal worker. We don't judge her on that. But unfortunately, when it comes to some women, and I'm not saying all, as soon as you say, what kind of job do you have? Oh, I'm working FedEx. They take off. Or I drive a truck. Or, you know, you have a regular job. It's a problem. But yet, let's just say if you have a title like a CEO or a doctor or a lawyer or an engineer, that's okay. And it's the sad part about it. It's like you're looking more at the title than the person.
All right. So one more question.
Yeah.
One more question, Kato. To your point, to what you're trying to say, are you trying to say that black women put too much pressure on black men?
Not really. It's just that it's like both sides. I'm not saying it's the woman's fault or the man's fault. I'm saying both of them. You know, it's too much competition. Too much competition, too much drama. You know, one is giving the other one aggravation. It's either the man doing it or the woman's doing it to the man. It shouldn't be that way. If y'all two can't get along with each other, if the two of you, if you have a problem with what that other person does, then why are you with this person then?
Okay.
You understand? You can't be with somebody if you have a problem with the person.
I think a lot of this is cultural, depending on the demographic that you're looking at. Black women.
Are you talking about that? Why black women are still single? I can't even say the word.
To a degree.
Are still
yes,
alone.
To a big degree.
Okay.
And I'll say it like this.
Okay.
There are a lot of cultural. Expectations, whether you're African, whether you're just African-American in this country, Asian, Jewish, a lot of different demographics when they are raising young girls to be women. There are different expectations as to when to get married, why you're going to get married, and how many children you're going to have. And in a lot of cultures, if you don't get married by a certain age, you're shunned. You're not looked at in the same way. And as you hear a lot of women talk about the biological clock, they want to be able to get goals ready. They want to be able to get the job. They want to find a husband potentially, get married, have children, start a family, start a career. And a lot of those things fall in lockstep with what they were either taught or what they were raised around. And I think there's a
problem
between how they were raised and the times that we're in today, because we're in a social media mindset now where everybody is, as we've all heard in this discussion, competing. Whether you're competing against yourself, you're competing against what your parents expect you to do, or you're competing against another woman in the same mindset, within the same class, whatever you're looking at as far as trying to find a mate. So the courting aspect is not the same. It's completely different and it's accelerated. And a lot of women feel happier on their own, not in a successful relationship per se. Others want that successful relationship. The issue now is going forward. If you are in that mindset of I want to find a mate, I want to have children, et cetera, how do you go about it? And is it going to clash with what you're looking for based on the person that you're looking for? That's going to be an issue going forward.
All right, so Phil, a question about the Jewish culture. Are there pressures similar like that? Like, you know, pressure to get married, pressure to do this? Pressure to meet the right one? Are there still arranged marriage in the Jewish culture?
And especially amongst the Orthodox Jews, I believe there are somewhat arranged marriages because they try to what they'll do is marry the kids very young so they can produce a lot of babies, and they'll say, you know, it's a way of, you know, trying to repair the chain that was broken in World War II from the Holocaust. And this is what my grandmother would tell me. And I've also heard people say, you know, that Jewish women are very demanding. You know, if you're going to be with me, you got to do this, you got to do that, you got to do this, you got to do that, and so forth. I think it's there in every culture. No matter how you look at it, the Jewish religion has its own pressures, and that's just part of it.
Well, to everybody, to all you guys' point, which I do which I agree to you guys. And I think the problem with black women is, like Charlotte hit it there, is influenced by others, you know, because so-and-so got married, so-and-so got this, I need to have this too, you know. They keep comparing their lives to others, and I don't think
that's
right.
And you can't do that.
And in the old West Indian days, when there's a problem, if I have a problem with my wife, I don't complain, and if I go complain to her mother or to her father, they will tell you, go back and fix it yourself. Go back to your wife and fix it yourself. Don't come up to me. And females today, especially black females, will run and try to get advice from other sisters, from their friends.
From their friends.
Who not in a relationship,
and it's not even good.
Who's not in a relationship, who's not even married, and trying to get advice from them. And I think that is a good thing and a bad thing at the same time. But it's like when guys vent, when we vent, we just complain to each other and, you know, call it a day. You know, we drink a couple of beers and talk crap and call it a day. While females, there's more of a scheme type of thing going on, I feel sometimes. Like, if Sean's wife complains to my wife, I feel like there's a scheme going on, you know. But if I tell that to the girls right now on the menu, they will attack me right away. But I just tell them.
Oh, my goodness. They'll chew our heads off.
Sure, and that's why it came back to my early saying of the defense. There's no reason to be upset or upset about it or have your guards up. We just explain how we feel about women. We are not attacking women. We're not hating our sisters. But it's an issue because you don't hear this type of topic of why are most white females are single or most Jews or Asian are single. It's always, here are always about the black. If you go online and type in relationships, you mostly will hear relationship about black people, but like Cato said earlier, there's always a competition between us for God's reason, you know. And Sean, anything else you'd like to add on before we go?
Well, that part of that competition is one of the things that can really add undue pressure that a lot of people don't really need, especially if they're not ready. Because I've seen this with my own eyes with people. Oh, you've gotten married. Okay, well, when are you going to have kids? Okay, you've gotten the kids. When are you going to have another kid? Oh, you've gotten the kids that you want. When are you going to get a new house? Oh, now you've gotten a new house. When are you going to get the, and it turns into when
right.
are you going to, when are you going to, when are you going to? And
oh,
it's
what
like,
kind of,
or
this, what kind of
with?
Job,
or what kind of job
yeah.
did this person have? That's another
yes,
thing.
That has to be the individual mindset of the person in that relationship, or if they're not in a relationship and they're just single, if that's their choice, to be happy with what they're doing. If you're happy being single and doing your own thing, there's nothing wrong
exactly.
with that as well.
And Sean, real quick, do you feel that black females put too much pressure on black men?
I think black women put too much pressure on themselves, much more so than they need
Ooh.
To, because they're competing, like we said, against themselves. And in a lot of instances, they put so much pressure on themselves that when they actually find that right person that they're with, they either psych themselves out in a lot of instances or bring up things from past relationships that aren't part of the new relationship that could really hurt them going forward.
I agree. So whose fault in that in general? That's normally a female fault, but they won't admit to that, most of them. And will still say the anger and blame on us men in general. And that's a problem.
I think part of it
and
is society's fault. I think part
it
of it is society's fault because it's been breeded in the minds of a lot of women through the media, through television, through movies, through music, that this is how a lot of these things are, and there's no change in it, and that's
okay.
become a poison for a lot of people as far as independent thought and being able to have good relationships without any interference from other people.
Okay. On that note, Sean Black, Phil the Fisherman Fisher, K-Dog, and Brother B, thank you so much, guys. Happy New Year. And in a couple of days,
Happy New Year.
We'll reach a one-year anniversary.
Happy New Year.
We're going to reach the one-year anniversary of when Sean Black stormed the Capitol and tried to take over.
Oh, Lord.
God.
Oh, man.
Have a good night. Stay safe. And Godspeed, everyone. Take care.
And, of course,
right.
The pleasure was all yours.
It was all yours.
Oh, my goodness. Good night, y'all. Be safe.
Good night.
Peace out.